Matthew chapter 25. The partner for this parable is found also in Luke's gospel, as the others were, but both of these parables are so extended. What I'll do is just fill you in a little bit on its counterpart in Luke's gospel and read to you from Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 14. And here it is the parable of the talents. 25:14. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his several ability. And he went on his journey. Whereas in Luke, he calls 10 servants, and he gives each one 1 pound. Verse 16. Straightway, he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made other 5 talents. In like manner, he also that received the 2 gained other 2. But he that received the 1 went away and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And how did they fare in Luke's gospel? Well, they all had 1 pound to start with, and one gained 10 pounds, one gained 5 pounds, and the other one took the money that was given him and put it in a napkin and laid it aside. Now, starting at verse 19. Now after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, and maketh a reckoning with them. And he that received the 5 talents came, and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Lo, I have gained other 5 talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Lo, I have gained other 2 talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou didst not sow and gathering where thou didst not scatter. And I was afraid and went away and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast thine own. But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back mine own with interest. Take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful for the precious treasure of truth that thy Son left with us to ponder until he comes again. Let us know how our souls are challenged by it, how the importance of life is brought to our attention because of these simple parables that thy son spoke. And we pray that, as in past weeks, so this week, thou shalt help us. We desire to know what thy son would convey in this lesson about the parable of the talents and of the pounds. And so help us this morning, we pray. Let us know the hearts of all who are here. We are so thankful that everyone is here. And we pray, Father, that this shall not be simply another attendance at a religious service, but that thy Spirit shall work in a special way, and that we shall not longer be contented to go on as we were, but seeing the challenge of these words of thy Son, that we shall become new men and women, that our out behavior shall change and be pleasing to him who loved us and gave himself for us. And so help us to this end. We confess our weakness and our insufficiency to do anything acceptably in thy sight, apart from thy Spirit. But thou canst impart strength by thy Spirit. Do that. We confess our uncleanness and our unworthiness to be thy servant. But thou hast promised to be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse. And so, all that is necessary for cleanness and empowering, undertake and bless this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Had there been an abundance of time, I would have read both of these parables, the one in Luke 19 and the one that I did read to you from Matthew chapter 25, and minutely shown you the differences between the two. I think that quite often the things that the one who has studied it carefully comprehends and tries to pass on to you quickly, you're not able to take in. But remember this, that we have two distinct parables. It's not like the feeding of the 5,000. The same event explained by Matthew in one gospel, by John and another gospel. But here are two parables that are partners, that go together, that are so similar, and yet each one is distinct, conveying different lessons, and the Lord would have us to understand them both. Both of them were spoken quite close to the end of his ministry. The one in Luke chapter 19 was spoken earlier for this reason. In Luke chapter 19, our Savior is going on his way to Jerusalem. He's just finished telling Zacchaeus that today has salvation come to this house. And people are listening to him speak. They have their criticisms of him. And they have their own thoughts about the kingdom of God. And because of their misunderstanding of the kingdom of God and when it was going to appear, he speaks this parable in Luke's gospel. However, in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, they go together. Matthew 25 is distinct. You do not find this in any of the other gospels. Because of the questions that they ask in Matthew chapter 24, they see the stones of the building of the temple, and the disciples say, "Look at these beautiful stones, Lord." And the Savior says, "Seest thou all these things? There shall not be left here one stone upon another which shall not be cast down." And then they ask, "When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And so then the Lord preaches Matthew chapter 24, and then he gives the two parables and the concluding instance of his returning in glory as the king and sitting on the throne of his glory and putting the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. And so notice the two occasions are distinct. One of them, in Luke 19, is when the Lord is going on to Jerusalem. He isn't there. The one in Matthew 25, he has been to Jerusalem. He's been in the temple, and he comes out of the temple, and he's sitting on the Mount of Olives. And so Matthew 24 is a different occasion. But let me tell you, you would think that Matthew 25 and Luke 19, telling about the coming of the Lord, would be parables that would stir us up and make us think that the coming of the Lord is near. But strange to say, while they warn us about being ready for the coming of the Lord, there are no less than four reasons in these parables that the Lord himself gives. Understand, I have no reason to tell you that the Lord is not going to soon come again. But the Lord gives four reasons for their not thinking that he is going to come in his kingdom right away. And listen to them. The first one is the occasion of his speaking the parable in Luke chapter 19. It says he spake this parable because some supposed that the kingdom of God was going to immediately appear. And so the reason that he spoke chapter 19 in Luke is because they thought the kingdom of God was going to immediately appear. And he said, no, I'm going to show you that it's not going to immediately appear. That's the first reason. Now, listen to the other reasons. It says that this parable is like unto a man who went into a far country. Now, if you go a long distance away, you're not going to come back quickly. He went into a far country. It says in Matthew chapter 25, while the bridegroom tarried. And don't we sing a song, he'll come and tarry not. And yet the Lord himself said, while the bridegroom tarried. I would never think of telling you that the bridegroom was going to tarry. But if the Lord said himself, while the bridegroom tarried, what shall we say? You say, well, if he said it, then it has to be true. The Lord said, while the bridegroom tarried. That's three reasons. And then in the parable, it also says, now after a long time, the Lord of those servants returns. Now, how many reasons do you have not to expect the coming of the Lord in his kingdom immediately? You say, that's four, and they're not my reasons. They're plain things that the Lord gave. And yet, after he had told them those four things, in Acts chapter 1, after only 40 days, the disciples say, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? You see, they're still expecting it. And so the trouble with the early disciples was expecting the coming of the Lord too soon. Perhaps the trouble with us today is expecting that the Lord is not going to come soon. But do not worry about any truth that is in the Bible. A man well said, someone was going to preach on election, and they said that's a dangerous doctrine to preach on. And his answer was, any doctrine that is in the Bible, that is taught as it is in the Bible, is not a dangerous doctrine to preach on. And anything to say that is in the Bible is nothing that is dangerous to say, is not conducive to just the opposite characteristic that the Lord wants in us. And so, what the disciples at the first were expecting was this, the immediate appearance of the kingdom. Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the Lord said, it's not for you to know. But, if it's not for them to know, but he told them four reasons not to expect it immediately to appear, then at least they should have been prepared for an interval between his departure and his coming again, and a long enough interval to be doing something before he came back. There are some who think that the coming of the Lord is so soon, why, as in Thessalonica, they probably had quit work and said, why, the Lord's going to come back. There's no reason to work. His going to come back is so soon that I'm just going to be waiting for him when he comes back. And that would be a good thing for those who have the roof and they're supposed to fix it or fix up the yard. The Lord's going to come so soon, let's just forget about the yard and let's forget about the roof and any other responsibilities that we have to do. Let's forget about this. The Lord is going to come back. But this isn't what the Lord teaches. Our attitude is one of expectancy. And the first parable that we had last week taught this lesson, that the Lord is going to come, and he's going to come in an hour that you think not. At first, they were thinking that he was going to come, and they were eager, expectant of his coming. But while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And then, after the tarrying of the bridegroom, they say, well, he hasn't come in all this time. Why, my Lord delayed his coming. Do you see the difference? At first they said, he's going to come, but he tarried. And so they said, well, since he has tarried, my Lord is going to delay longer his coming.
But he never does. He comes in the fullness of time when he's to be born, and he comes in the fullness of time in fulfillment of his promises of coming again. And so, for all of you who say, why, the Lord may come today, I'm going to tell you the four reasons about the long time before the kingdom is going to appear. And if you say, why, it's going to be a long time before the Lord comes, then I will tell you, he may come today. Whatever attitude you take, I'm going to give you the other. That's why the scripture gives both sides for that very reason. Now, did you notice that last week, the only challenge that was put before us was readiness when the Lord came? Did you notice that? Here are the 10 virgins, and they were waiting for the bridegroom. They were given no duties. They were simply waiting for the bridegroom that when he came, they could go with him to the marriage feast. Simply faithfulness in waiting for their bridegroom. And they had to be ready the moment that he came. And this brings us to the importance of readiness when our Lord comes back again. Remember that. The most important thing is this. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? And if you have not oil in your lamp, as we studied last week, you're not ready. And if you say, well, I'm going to get ready as soon as he comes again, there'll be no time to get ready. The good advice that was given by the wise virgins, why they had not time to carry it out. And when they come and want to get in, the door is shut. And the Lord says to them, I know you not. The door is shut. And Luke tells us in chapter 13, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut to the door, it says, you're not going to get in. And so the only lesson that Matthew teaches us that is absolutely essential in the five wise and foolish virgins is that the bridegroom is coming again. You had better be ready when he comes. And the readiness is having oil in your vessel. And sad to say, there were the foolish virgins, five of them, that were not ready when the Lord came. And had the Lord come during this past week, some of you would not have been ready. I have no doubt that some of you have outward professions, you have a lamp, and you say, well, if the Lord comes, I'm ready to go with him into heaven. But upon close examination, you would discover that you have profession. You try to light your lamp, and it won't burn, because there's no oil. No matter how perfect that outward profession is, if there is no oil, it will not burn. And so do you see, the only thing taught in Matthew chapter 25 and the five and wise and foolish virgins is simply expectancy and watchfulness and readiness the moment the Lord comes. But this is the marvel and this is the excellency of our Lord's wisdom in the second portion. It is not readiness when the Lord comes, but it is what you have done while the Lord has been gone. You see that? In Matthew 25, he takes his goods and delivers them to his servants, and when he comes back, then he makes a reckoning with them. He says, I've been gone, I've tarried, after a long time, I've come back. Now, let me see what you've been doing while I've been gone. You see the beauty of that? There is watchfulness. And so that is when the Lord comes. There is activity. There is work. What have I done while the Lord has been gone? Now, this is the second point that is added to waiting for the return of the Lord. It is watchfulness and faithfulness and readiness. Yes, thank God. But there are some who say, well, I'm ready. I've got my lamp and there's oil in the lamp. And so I'm waiting for the Lord. I'm ready for the Lord. But that's not enough. What have you been doing all of those years now that you're actually ready since the Lord has not come? And so here it is service. You could use these words. They've been thought of before. One is contemplation of the coming of the Lord. And the other one is activity, service, contemplation, meditation, longing for the return of the Lord. Paul says in 2 Timothy about those that have loved his appearing. And so those that love his appearing, they're going to be ready. They have a heart for the Lord. But then also, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And so the Lord, Paul, when waiting for the coming of the Lord, has been doing something. And so it is the activity that is to be carried on in the second parable in Matthew chapter 25. And there, it says, a certain man takes his goods and gives them to his servants. Doesn't tell them a thing. He says, here are my goods. They're yours. And then he goes away. In Luke, he tells them what to do with it. But in Matthew, he simply says, here are my goods. Well, let me ask you this. Suppose you have a man that you work for, and he said, here are all of my assets. Here are the things that keep the business together. I'm giving them to you. What would you think? Would you think, well, I'm to do nothing with them? Why, these people in Matthew chapter 25, two of them at least, understood exactly what they were to do with them. They said, we are to increase our master's possessions. And so they went out and they worked, they served their Lord, and when he came back, then they were ready to show an increase of what the Lord had given to them. Now, in Luke chapter 19, the Lord leaves no doubt. It says he calls 10 servants of his, and he takes 10 pounds, and he gives to each one a pound. Think, in both instances, something of value is given to the man's servants. In Luke 19, he's called a certain noble man. This is the Lord Jesus in his nobility. He's coming back as king. Whereas in Matthew chapter 25, he's simply a private citizen. A certain man called his servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. And the difference is this in Matthew. In Matthew, he gives different amounts to different servants. To one, he gives 5 talents. To one, he gives 2 talents. To another, he gives 1 talent. That's in Matthew. Whereas in Luke chapter 19, he has 10 pounds, and there are 10 servants, and he says, 1 pound for you, 1 pound for you, 1 pound for you. And so each of the 10 servants is equally endowed with 1 pound. He gives 1 pound apiece to the 10. And the Lord is teaching us a lesson here. And while he's gone, 2 out of the 3, because he only mentions 3 of the 10 servants, whereas all of the servants, he only mentions 3 classes, the class to whom he gave 5 and 2 and 1. But when they come back, 2 out of the 3 in both parables render unto him different amounts in comparison to what the Lord has given to them. Now let's think on this just a moment. I want you to see the importance of it. If you ask me, I'm a Christian, you are a Christian, what do you have from God that I do not have from God? And I tell you, absolutely nothing. How much of the Bible do you have? You say, the same amount that you do. How much of the Holy Spirit do you have? You say, the same amount that you do. How much of the Lord Jesus as Savior do you have? You say, why, I have everything just as you do. Why, of course. We are equally endowed with 1 pound. In that sense, there is no distinction between the Christians. Everyone equally has as much of Christ, as much of the Spirit, as much of the Bible as any other. You say that I'm just as good as you. I'm just as talented as you. Not necessarily. Because in Matthew chapter 25, they are not equally endowed, but one is given 5 talents, one is given 2 talents, and one is given 1 talent. And so, in Luke chapter 19, it is bringing out that we are equally responsible to God, and that God has imparted not part of the truth, but all of the truth to all of his servants. And so, you can do with it what you want to. You have the whole of Christ, the whole of the Spirit, the whole of the scriptures, that is true. But it says in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Lord Jesus, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And so if you ask, well then, what gift do you have from the Lord that I do not have from the Lord? Well, unless you are a teacher and I am a teacher, that is something I have from the Lord. And if a man is an evangelist and you are not an evangelist, that is something special he has from the Lord. But now, inasmuch as in Matthew chapter 25, you have 5 talents to 1, 2 talents, and 1 talent. Here is the same gift, and one man has this gift of teaching to the degree of 5 talents. Another one only to the degree of 2 talents. Another only to the degree of 1 talent. And so there are great differences between the people of God. And this is where we err, because some say, well, I can teach. You cannot teach unless the Lord has given you the gift of teaching. Well, I can be an evangelist. You cannot be an evangelist. The Lord has given you the gift of an evangelist. You can witness. You can testify. Yes, you can do all of these things. But according to Ephesians 4, the Lord has given these special gifts to special people. And being able to tell people how to be saved and to give out a gospel tract and so forth, that is not that gift from God. And this is a mistake that we make in the assemblies, thinking that because a man knows some things about the Bible, he's able to teach. If this is so, then Matthew 25 would be, he gave one servant 5 talents, he gave the other servant 5 talents, and he gave the third servant 5 talents. But this isn't so. He calls all his servants, and he just gives certain ones these particular talents. And if I think that I am an apostle and a prophet, as they were in the New Testament, why, I am under an illusion. I'm not that at all. And then, if I say, yes, I'm a teacher, and you ask, well, to what degree? And I say, well, perhaps 5. The answer is no. And I always say this, I know exactly the degree that I am a teacher. I am a 2-talented teacher. They say, why? Well, for this reason. If I only had 1 talent, you wouldn't invite me to speak here. And if I had 5 talents, I wouldn't come. And so I am a 2-talented man. And the Lord makes it that way. Now, notice the difference. I want you to notice that the Lord takes this into consideration when he comes back. When you have the man with 5 talents, it says he has been given this talent according to his several ability. The Lord knows exactly what your capacity is. And so he says, you are able to handle 5 talents here. You are able to handle 2 talents here. And you are able to handle 1 talent here. And so what Matthew 25 teaches so beautifully is this. When the Lord comes back, the man that had received 5 talents says, Lord, the 5 talents you gave me have increased to 10 talents. And the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now the man with 2 talents said, Lord, your 2 talents have gained 2 talents more. Now listen. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The identical praise and reward, because the man with 2 talents did all that he could. It wasn't expected of him to gain 5 talents. He gained 2 talents, and the Lord gave him the same commendation as the man who gained 5 talents. Now, in Luke chapter 19, it's different. Because inasmuch as we all have the same things to work with, the man, the first one that he called, he says, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he gives him an elaborate commendation and says, be thou over 10 cities. And the man who had 1 pound also comes back and says, here are 5 pounds more. All he says is this, be thou over 5 cities. You see the difference? Inasmuch as they had the same entrusted to them, then this one that had the same entrusted to him did not get 10 as the other. And the Lord rewards him for what he's done, but he doesn't give him the same reward and the same commendation, showing that if you have the equal amount of truth and a capital to invest, the Lord expects you to get the same amount as that one did the 10. And so some say, well, I don't have much gift. The Lord cannot expect much of me. In one sense, that's true. But you have the same amount of the Scripture, and you can read it the same as I can. You have the same amount of the Holy Spirit of God, and you can be filled with that Spirit. You have the same Savior, or to whom you can pray. All of these things, you will have to apply them to yourself. But the Lord is showing that in Luke chapter 19, we have equal responsibility. Whereas in Matthew chapter 25, we have various degrees of gifts sovereignly by the Savior bestowed upon us. And the Lord is expecting us to live up to the capacity that he's bestowed upon us. And so, if I have 2 talents, then the Lord is expecting me to give him 2 talents more when he comes back. And if I have 5 talents, he's not going to be satisfied if I say, your 5 talents have gained 2 talents more. That's not acceptable in God's sight. He expects us that have a great gift or a lesser gift or the least gift to function in accordance, commensurate with the gift that he has given us. And thank God, the 5 and the 2 did that in Matthew chapter 25. Now, he brings this same truth out in the parable of the sower. You have 4 areas that are sown. And we're only going to look at the 4th now because I believe that these are the only ones that are truly God's children. But of those that are sown, they bring forth fruit. It says some bring forth fruit 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. And so in Matthew chapter 25, here are some that bring forth 10 talents, some that bring forth 5 talents, you see. But as in Matthew 25, so in Matthew chapter 13, there must be fruitfulness. There must be the evidence of life. It doesn't matter if you have the lamp. That is not enough. It doesn't matter if you have been sown with the Word of God. People don't understand. But in Matthew chapter 13, you say, why, look, there are evidences of life there. Well, of course, because the seed is the Word of God, and the Word of God is living. It's not that there are evidences of life. You find that in 2 Peter chapter 3. If after the knowledge of the Son of God, men escape the pollutions of the world, hearing the Word will do things to you. But it's when the Word develops and brings forth fruit that remains. And so you, if you say you're a Christian, well, you have to have oil. That's essential. And you have to bear fruit. It may be that you only bear 30-fold fruit, but you must bear fruit. This is what the Lord is showing. And so those Christians that have outward testimonies and say, here is the lamp. Well, when the Lord comes back, he's going to see whether there's any oil that will cause that lamp to burn. And at the same time, all of you who stand forth are not only as virgins holding forth lamps, but you say, well, look at me. I'm wheat waving in the field. The Lord is going to see if there is any true fruit in your life. And if there isn't, why, you are one of the tares. You are not the wheat at all. And that is why, and let me tell you this from a threefold comparison of what we have in Matthew chapter 25. By a threefold comparison of this, you are able to discern, as I read it, that in each instance you have one who is truly a pretender. Not truly a child of God. For this reason, you have all of them that are virgins, they're light in that respect, but they are foolish virgins and they have no oil. And you find that the door is shut and they're on the outside and they cannot get in. Now, in like manner, when you come to the 2nd parable and the Lord comes back, you have one that has taken the talent and he has buried it in the ground, and he says, Lord, lo, here is thine own. And the Lord says, thou wicked and slothful servant. And then he tells him how he has been falsely thought of and maligned. And so you thought that I was an austere man, and that I reaped where I did not sow, and so forth. You said that. He said, I'm going to judge you out of your own mouth. This is what Luke tells us. And then he says, take from him the talent and give it unto him that has 10 talents, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing teeth. You find these words 7 times, 6 times occurring in Matthew's gospel, 1 time in Luke's gospel, and in every instance, the one that is cast out, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, they are lost people. And the proof of it is in the third part of it. There's no doubt. You see, in each part of Matthew 25, you have 2 distinct classes. You have virgins, wise and foolish. You have those that have been given talents from the Lord. Some are good and faithful, and some are wicked and slothful. And then in the last part, you have sheep and goats. And you say, well, how do you know that outer darkness and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth? Well, look at the 3. I told you from Luke chapter 15. I can't go into that again. But in the last part, what about those goats? It says, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Do you see? In each instance, there are some that go into the joy of the Lord, and they are rewarded, and there are some that are shut out. That's all it is. They were waiting to go in, and they were shut out. Here are some that had served the Lord. They're expecting reward. They are rewarded. They enter into the joy of the Lord. But one is not only shut out, but he's cast out. And what he had and he didn't use is taken away from him. And then the goats, they are cast into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And so in each instance, we have those that are pretenders. And so this morning, if the Lord had come, and I were preaching to you the same as I did last week, I would ask, are you ready? But this week, the parable before us asks this, what have you done for the Lord that has increased what he has given to you that will be a manifest token that you are truly a child of God when he comes? The one that had received 5 talents said, Lord, here are 5 talents more. The one that had the 2, Lord, who are 2 talents more. And what about you, who profess to be children of God? What are you going to show the Lord that is conclusive evidence that you are truly a child of God? You think of your past life. What you've done since the Lord has been gone is going to be examined. And if there is nothing of abiding worth in it, no matter how much you have professed to have things from the Lord, you will discover that you will be cast into the outer darkness. And then you will be among those who weep and gnash your teeth. Be ready when the Lord comes. And while he's coming, you work for the Master. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the joy that thy Son is going to come again. Father, we would not err in thinking that the Lord delayeth his coming. It's been over 1900 years now. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, and we listen to thy words which say, behold, I come quickly. And so, Father, let us be waiting, anticipating with joy the coming of thy Son. But, Lord, let us not be those who always are meditating and contemplating and do nothing in thine absence. But when thou dost come, may we have something to show for what thou hast bestowed upon us in addition to salvation. May we be ready. And we will have something to give back to thee, Lord Jesus, when thou dost come. Bless us to this end, we pray, in thine own dear name. Amen. And it is all.